And today, as we talk about the next level of faith, I want you to look at our text today in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 to 16. But before we can go to this level, in our text tonight, today, in Hebrews 4, verse 11 to 16, I want to talk to you first about faith. Okay? Because without understanding the definition or the meaning of faith, we cannot go to the next level of faith that God wants us to have. You know, I heard a story of a child, a young child. He's already old enough to be asked by his mom to buy eggs in the grocery. So he was asked by his mom to go to the grocery and buy eggs. So he went to the grocery and buy eggs, and he put it in a sack. And he was very odd going back to his house, and he dropped the sack of eggs. So everything was broken. And you know, thinking about what happened, he was about to cry. Because he knows what his mom will do, you know, because he dropped all the eggs. So the grocery store was a mess because he dropped all the eggs. And everybody was looking at him. He was the center of attention in the grocery store. And one guy came to him, because all the people are really concerned and wants to know if he's okay, if he's all right. So one guy went to him and said, "Are you okay?" And said, of course, he cannot get an answer because he was like, he didn't know what to say. And this guy gave him 25 cents. And then he went to all the people around the boy and said, "I care enough to give you 25 cents. How much do you care for this boy?" Well, the point is, if we want to show our faith, as the scripture says, we must show our faith by our works. We must show what we believe about God to the people around us. So today, as we look at the next level of faith that God wants us to have, I want you to look once again to the definition of faith in Hebrews 11, verse 1. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." In Hebrews 11, verse 6, it says, "Without faith, it is impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." So what does it take to take our faith to the next level? In other words, what do we need to do in order to take our faith to the next level? Well, the first thing that I believe God wants us to do is to walk by faith and not by sight. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7, the Apostle Paul says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." So if you look at the scripture, what does that really mean? How do we walk by faith?
Bible says, walk by faith and not by sight. So, but how do we do that? How do we walk by faith and not by sight? Well, there is a book that I read. The book is entitled The Heart of Christianity. I know I don't know if any of you have read the book. By Marcus Boyd. The book is entitled The Heart of Christianity. And in his book, he showed four dimensions of faith. And he gives these four dimensions of faith by using four Latin words that describe faith. The first word that he used is the word assensus. Assensus, which simply means faith by intellectual belief. This is where most of us are identified with. We believe in something or in someone, and most of us have intellectual assent or have intellectual belief. It is not an experience, but simply a belief. Simply we have a belief, or simply having a belief, is not enough. Because James said, even the devils believe. Amen? Even the devils believe. So just the fact that you believe means absolutely nothing. So we need more than believing. And then we move to the second word, which is fiducia. The second word that he uses is the word fiducia, which means faith as trust. You know, this kind of faith is where the disciples of Jesus Christ failed miserably. You know, every time Jesus Christ, is with his disciples, some of them don't believe what Jesus Christ is saying. And so every time Jesus tells them about something, he said, "Oh ye of little faith." He was saying, "Oh ye of little fiducia." He was actually saying to them, "You don't trust me. You don't have an assurance of me or my power." So that is the second word. The third Latin word that the author used is the word fidelitus. This is where we use the word fidelity or fidelity. It simply means faith as faithfulness. It is the kind of faith where you develop a close, intimate relationship with God. And this is where the people of God, the people of Israel, failed miserably. Because you know, in the scriptures, we have seen them replace God and put other gods before Him. So this is the kind of faith that, you know, that is defined as faithfulness to God. In Exodus 20, verse 1, it says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." And then the fourth word in this book is the word visio. Not the DB. You're familiar with the DB, but that, this is the word visio, V-I-S-I-O, which means faith as able to see. So this is actually the definition of faith that we are looking at. Faith that is able to see the way God sees. Because, you know, humans like us don't see the way God sees. Amen? We see from our own perspective. We don't walk by faith, we walk by sight. Amen? We walk through our five senses. We use our five senses to interpret things in the world and to interpret things that are happening around us. So we walk by sight, not by faith. And the word visio, or that part of faith that God gave us is the faith that is able to help us to stand courageously in the most trying and difficult situations. So this is the kind of faith that the prophet Habakkuk, in the most difficult and trying times, when he was in Israel, he said in Habakkuk 3, verse 17, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there may be no herds in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, I will joy in the God of my salvation. That is the kind of faith that God wants us to have in order to walk by faith and not by sight. God wants us to see the way He sees our situation. And most of the time we walk by sight, not by faith. Because we look at the circumstances, we look at the problems, we look at the situation and don't see things the way God sees things. And we need that kind of faith, the visio kind of faith. And this is what God wants us to have. It's not enough that you have a census kind of thing, an intellectual belief in God or in His promises in the Word. We need to go past a census or intellectual belief. We need to develop our faith so that our faith will not only be a mental or mental ascent, but it will be a kind of faith that sees things the way God wants us to see. And Habakkuk, as we read, he was able to see God's view of things because he had faith, or he had a vision kind of faith. And I believe this is what we need today in this day and time that we're living in. There are so many struggles, many things happening in our world, many things happening in our lives, many things happening in our families, and we need that kind of faith in order to survive this world. Amen? So we need this kind of faith. And I believe God has given us the kind of faith, but we need to work. We need to work out our faith. We need to develop our faith in such a way that our faith will not just be a census or mental assent or intellectual belief, but it will become faith that is faithfulness, faith that is trust, and faith that is seeing God the way God wants us to see Him. So how do we do that? How do we go to the next level of faith? Or, in other words, how do we take our faith to the next level, the way God wants us to take it to the next level? Well, let's open our Bibles, if you have your Bibles, to James chapter 2, verse 26. James chapter 2, verse 26. It says, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." I believe this is where the tension between faith and work begins. Actually, this has been a problem that has plagued the church for years. The question of whether faith and work, or the relationship between faith and work. So if you look at the scripture, what is James really talking about here? You know, if you look at the scripture, if you want to understand the scripture, we know that you have to look at the context of the scripture. Don't just interpret the text the way it is, because you will never understand what the text means unless you look at the context of the text. So what does James really mean when he said faith without works is dead? Well, if you look back in James chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, you will see the point of James. You know, James here created a scenario in the church where he shows our human behavior. He said, one man will go to the church who is rich, and then because the man is rich, you will give him the best seat, you will give him the best service, and you will treat him as king. And then he said, then another man comes to church who is poor, and then you won't even give him a seat or give him a place to stand, and when you give him a seat, you tell him to sit at your feet. So what is the point of James? James is saying, you know, you brothers have a problem with partiality. That is the context of this text that we are reading right now. He said, you have a problem with partiality. And then in verse 8 to 13, he said, the solution to the sin of partiality, he said, treat others the way you desire to be treated. So that is what he is saying to the Christians that he was writing to. He said, treat others the way you desire to be treated. In other words, follow the golden rule, which is, do unto others what you have them do unto you. How many of you have seen a lot of cars with you know, messages, you know, at the back? You know, one car that I saw says, do unto others, and then split. You know what does that mean? It means that, you know, do whatever you need to do to others, and then, you know, just forget about it. Don't matter what they do, but just do to others what you want them to do. Well, you know, many times this is where the church has failed. This is where most people who claim to be Christians has failed. When it comes to understanding what it means for our faith to work. So what is James trying us to understand here? He's saying to us that our faith need to be the kind of faith that God wants us to be or to have. If you want your faith to grow and get to the next level, you need to move your faith from being theoretical to being practical. You know, many of us know the Bible by heart. Many of us can recite the Bible. Many of us can even, you know, sleep without, you know, forgetting what the scripture says. But the Bible is saying, let's get moving and let's move our faith from being theoretical to being practical. In other words, James is saying it's one thing to have faith that works one day a week, but it takes another to have faith that works 7 days a week. Amen. Praise God. How many of you are guilty of that? In other words, James is saying, let's move our faith from being theoretical to being practical. You know, someone said some Christians are so heavenly bound, but they are no earthly good. And some of us have that kind of faith. Let's read James chapter 2, verse 14 to 17. He said, what does profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Okay,
to them depart in peace, be warm and be filled. But you do not give them the things which are needed for the body. What does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. You see the point that James is making? He's not saying that salvation is by works. He's not saying that, because some of the people interpret this to mean that salvation is by works, or that you need to have some works in order to be saved. That's not the point of James. The point of James is that salvation, in order to be true, real, authentic, or whether your faith is genuine or not, or it is dead faith or not, you need to do something. You need to show your works. He's not saying works will bring you salvation. He's saying works, or your fruit, is the sign of your salvation. For the salvation, or for the possession of genuine faith in God, is only as valuable as the works that are generated by that believer in their life of faith. Well, James is saying, how can you say to your brothers and sisters who is destitute, who is in need of daily food, go in peace, for you will be warm instead of taking care of their needs? You know, when you encounter someone who has not eaten for days and their clothes are falling off, what will you do? Will you just say, I will pray for you? Amen. When someone comes to you, he is destitute, he is in need, he comes to you and asks for help, will you say, I will pray for you? But James is saying to us, listen, my brothers and sisters, if you really have a relationship with God that is genuine, you will not say, I will pray for you, but you will put some word behind your faith. As I said earlier, that is where the church many times has failed miserably. How many times has this been our response when we encounter someone in need? You know, Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, faith should not be the confession of our lips, but it should be the possession of our lives. In other words, if we got genuine, authentic faith, it's more than lip service. It's more than a mere intellectual belief if we truly have a genuine faith in God. It means we're going to roll up our sleeves and help somebody out. George Whitfield, an Anglican preacher, says, Jesus Christ will not suffer us to be idle. No, it's not an active, lively, restless principle. It fills the heart so that it cannot be easy doing something for Jesus Christ. What he meant by that is, if you say you are a believer of Jesus Christ, you got to do something to help another person. Through faith, James said, transcend lip service. He's saying, it's not what we do that will gain us favor with God. Works is what we have as a result of being in relationship with God. You know, faith without works is dead. In essence, he's saying your living connection with God without fruit is dead. Well, some of us may say, well, I don't have faith. Well, everyone who believes in Jesus Christ have a measure of faith. It may not be too much. Or you may think your faith is so small, you don't believe anything about God. But the problem with most of us is we are stuck with that intellectual level called belief. But that is not enough.
It's not enough that we know the Bible, we know the scriptures, that we can memorize the scriptures, we know what God is saying in the scriptures. It's not enough. And James is saying, it is all that you have. It is faith, but it is death. It's like my earlier illustration with the kids. You know how a balloon needs a spirit. It needs air. You need to blow into the balloon the air in order for the balloon to become a balloon. In the same way, we need faith. We need to add feet to our faith in order for our faith to be a living. You know, I love that song that our worship team sang earlier, If We Are the Body. Let's go back to the lyrics of the song. It says, but if we are the body, why aren't his arms itching? If we are the body, why aren't his hands itching? If we are the body, why aren't his words itching? And if we are the body, why aren't his why is his love not showing, or not showing them, there is a way? Do you know why our arms are not moving? Do you know why our feet are not going? You know the reason why this song is true in most of our lives? Do you know why these things happen, or things do not happen the way God wants these things to happen? Because we have a dead faith. What I mean by dead faith is our faith has not moved past the first dimension of it. We're trying to do everything by our own ability, by our own strength, by our own works. And as a result, we are frustrating others. We are frustrating God. And we are frustrating ourselves. You know, my friends, my brothers and sisters, if we allow the Spirit of God to fill our lives, we will keep busy doing good works and not worry about our salvation. Because God will use you to do good works. Now, the next question is, how do we have fruit? How do we grow in our faith? In other words, what is the reward of faith? What if I grow my faith to the next level? What is my reward? What will happen if I take my faith to the next level? And that is my third point today. And I will end with this. In Hebrews 11, verse 6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he exists, or that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. It's like earlier, I asked you, well, how goes your faith? Bible says, faith is the evidence, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So how is your faith? Remember, faith is the key to pleasing God. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Another thing, faith connects us to God and to all the gifts and the blessings that He wants to give us. You know, if you just know how much God wants to bless you, and then we will be excited to get to the next level of faith. Because the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to please God, and he who comes to God must believe God for who he is. And he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. The question is, how do we connect to God so that our faith will grow according to the level that He wants us to have. Well, one of the best ways to grow our faith is to focus on God's nature and character. You know, if we just focus on God's nature and character, if we just realize who God really is, our faith will go to the next level that He wants us to have. And some of the key qualities that God showed us in His Word is in our text today. The text that we just read in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 to 16. You know, to remember who God is, and what God can do and what God will do. Remember the word faith. F-A-T-I-H. Whenever you think about God for who He is and what He can do and what He will do in your life, remember F-A-T-I-H. F stands for faithful. God is faithful. God is reliable and powerful. You can count on Him and God will do whatever He promised because He is faithful, reliable. He will never let you down. Secondly, God is available. He's not only available, He's approachable. You know, it's incredible to think that the God of the universe has made Himself available to us. He's not busy. He's not far away. Whatever problems you have, whatever pains or needs or concerns you have, He's listening to you. He's a prayer away. Not only is He available and approachable, He is interested. God is not only available and approachable, He is interested in the very small detail of your life. Amen? And He is touched by the things that we bring. He's not only interested, approachable, and available, He is trustworthy. He is trustworthy. When we come to Him with our needs, we can trust that He knows what is best for you. He is the God of integrity, the God of love, the God of mercy, the God of grace. He will never let you down. Amen. And lastly, He is helpful. Helpful. Meaning He is full of help. You know, no word can describe what God can do, what God will do in your life if we ask Him for help. You know, God is Savior, Healer, Deliverer, Emancipator, Redeemer. All these titles point to the powerful help that God will do if you look up to Him. My brothers and sisters, let's go back to our main text that we read earlier. Next slide, please. He said, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly in the faith that we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet He did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. My brothers and sisters, do you want your level, do you want your faith to be taken to the next level? I don't know about you, but I want my faith to go to the next level. I don't want to stay in that level where I know God, but I don't have a relationship with Him. Or I know God, but I don't have confidence or trust in Him. I don't want to have faith that is not faithful to me. Or I don't want to have faith that is not, that does not see God the way God wants me to see things. In other words, I want a living faith. I don't want the kind of faith that says, I will pray for you if someone comes to me for help. Because the only faith that makes a difference in the world, that will take or turn the world upside down, is the faith that God has given us, which is a living faith. My brothers and sisters, if you want your faith to grow, let us focus on the nature and character of God. Remember, F-A-T-I-H. God is faithful. He's available and approachable. He's interested, trustworthy, and helpful. Let's pray. Lord, thank you once again for reminding us that we need to take our faith to the next level. We know, God, that we cannot just be satisfied with our level of faith. Your word says, faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing your word. Lord, help us to desire the sincerity of the word. Lord, help us to desire more and more to grow our faith. Lord, help us to focus on your nature and character. Lord, help us to desire to have a faith that works. Lord, help us. Help us, O God. Thank you for all the things that you said in your word. For we know, God, that you are capable to do everything.